Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, Christ was wounded for our transgressions. Merciful Father,
I am a merciful sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and thus deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce unto you the grace of God. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry Jesus' cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide which each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying,
"Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross."
So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe.
Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
And some of the passerbyers, hearing it, said,
"Behold, he is calling Elijah."
And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Jesus, to Joseph. And Joseph bought a fine linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. The Passion of the Christ, released to theaters on Ash Wednesday 2004. The Motion Picture Association of America assigned it a rating of R, something one would have expected to deter its target audience. Now, this designation signifies so-called adult content, including strong language, drug abuse, nudity, or intense violence. Cinemas require a parent or guardian to accompany any attendee under age 17. The film ended up not only a blockbuster, but also a cultural phenomenon. A few years later, someone interviewed me about it. an entertainment blogger, stopped by my parish study unannounced. She wanted the perspective of a Christian in the wild. One question went like this. How do you respond to some characterizing the movie as torture porn? Now that is, would you say the explicit depictions of brutality and mutilation have the outcome and even the intent of a voyeuristic spectacle? Well, I'd never heard the ugly expression torture porn before, but it sounded like something that ought not apply to our Savior. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do compose graphic narratives. But do they qualify as gratuitous? Their attraction derives from veracity rather than fascination with violence. The gospel accounts about the last hours of Jesus make their objective not vicarious fantasy, but rather accuracy. It is the reality, and not just the realism, that disturbs. It disgusts even, and quite on purpose, because it actually happened. It is sheer history and not morbid curiosity or chest-thumping audacity that demands you not look away. Well, don't get me wrong, human beings adore the gratuitous. Something about us does feel quite calibrated for extra. The fabric of our being seems driven and drawn to more. We come with arms for reaching, with legs for leaving, and then redundant surpluses of each one. Five senses collect external input when one is probably sufficient. And then ones of us keep coupling up to propagate thirds and fourths and fifths until there's over 8 billion. The Maker has bent our nature toward the transcendence of self. So, ocean depths and desert edges enchant us. Mountains and moons, panoramas and canyons captivate us because they have more than necessary, more than sensible. At least the impression and maybe even the prospect of losing control. The impression and perhaps the prospect, mind you. The pleasant illusion of losing control catches our fancy, not the actual experience. We don't so much like a God who says no, do we? Give us a God, fine, with all of the more that that means, but just not like that, if you please. I mean, we do regard some mores as more equal than others. Bring me the kind of more that I can domesticate, am I right? Give us the more that enlarges our domain and lays out the legroom for us to go wild on our own terms. We especially can't stand a God who shouts his no. And the carnage of Jesus crucified hollers it through a megaphone. Remove this cup from me. Prophesy. Crucify. I don't know the man. I thirst. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a bit much, don't you think? Exorbitant, excessive, unfair. He hasn't even done anything wrong, for crying out loud. This is getting gratuitous. The hardships that we encounter brought about by our blunders make sense to us. Tribulation that we face because of miscalculations, we can appreciate that as understandable. We don't care for repercussions and ramifications, but we comprehend them. Whatever hurt one deserves, that we get. But random medical disorders, natural disasters, tragic accidents, animal savagery, and all those evils we never see meet their comeuppance? Unreasonable, arbitrary, ridiculous, gratuitous, and entirely contrary to our sinful nature. See, the sinful flesh takes our more premeditated and measured, thank you very much. The fleshly self strategizes its infractions, rationalizes its infringements, and this world lullabies us into taking advantage of our neighbors deliberately and manipulatively. The devil himself croons us into consuming all of our surroundings methodically and mechanically. Our old self doesn't mind God saying no as long as his mouth has the shape of my yes. But when his more starts getting in the way of my more, when anyone else's does really, then I'm inclined to settle for something less simply because I've convinced myself that that is mine. Just let me retreat repeatedly, permanently to that straitjacket-shaped, coffin-sized hell that my hungry humanity has stocked with anxieties and populated with regrets. And let me loiter there, mostly alone, alongside all the other shadows. Even so, God remains gratuitous. If anything, God redoubles his gratuitousing. He means to wholly overwhelm all of our estimations of commensurate and appropriate. He positively delights in doing entirely away with notions of deserving or earned or worthy or warranted. In fact, the only reality more gratuitous than God's vengeance is his favor. More gratuitous yet than the Almighty's retribution is his fatherly affection. And his love somehow outgratuituses even his justice. The crucifixion exhibits how God literally exists brimming over. God's own being balloons its oneness threefold, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, with a heart so big that he wears it on the outside too. I mean, God requires nothing, but he creates so much anyway. And then comes upon our earth as the man Jesus. And this Jesus endures abundant sufferings in order to embody to us God's fundamental nature that we have a super having and a super giving creator. He has piled up material blessings beyond what we can perceive or detect. Then this Jesus undergoes plentiful punishments in order to demonstrate God's ultimate character, that we rejoice in a not only here, but also there caretaker, who is pouring down rescue and refuge that exceeds what we can identify or define. And Jesus enacts an ample passion, exaggerated sacrifice in order to express God's entire disposition for us. We rest in a from this moment and forevermore companion who will keep pulling out security and comfort greater than we can ask or imagine. Even the underworld could not contain him. Your Savior's devotion gathered your guilt once for all and gorged him on it so profusely that he gagged the condemnation of God. And now that generous forgiveness swelled so copious that he has gouged the devil's gullet and ruptured the grave's gut until death and hell wretched themselves empty. That is extravagant grace. And it only intensifies ever since, conversion after conversion, generations upon generations. Christ Jesus recklessly gladdens our race. Congregation after congregation, in celebrations that are constant and songs that are incessant, the Christian faith decadently emboldens our life, one sacrament and another, this witness and the next, the church continues to immodestly garden the world. God does gratuitous, the hard and the good. We get gratuitous beholding and believing Jesus. And we not only witness gratuitous front row, we also get to participate in it firsthand. Jesus, the crucified and revived one, guarantees God gratuitous, not just to, but in, with, and through us as well. So you, don't hesitate to overdo it. Forget the customs, the cues, the conventions. Feel free to advertise what only Jesus Christ himself could deliver. Let the doctrine and the confession live loudly. Press his body and blood into a use that is more robust than just tingling the tongue. Stretch your repentance awkwardly thin. And spread your patience ticklishly wide. Share prayer and scripture more often than polite society advises. Give in to enthusiastic servanthood. Go ahead and honor the authorities instead of only obeying or ignoring them. Dare to dent your schedule with chance interactions. Caution your neighbors. Comfort strangers energetically. Grieve deeply right alongside broken hearts and laugh just as happily as anyone next to you. God has not given himself in the cross and the empty tomb this week so that temperance could tighten its tyranny. Amen. May the same Lord who has begun this good work in you carry it on to its completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray for all people everywhere, confident that God desires to hear our fervent pleas. God the Father, as you exalted the name of Jesus because of his obedient death on the cross, empower your church throughout the world to lift up that name before all nations, that every knee may bow in faith and adoration. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give all catechumens the mind of Christ, that they may grow in their faith and knowledge of your Son and follow him all the days of their lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly King, make the leaders of the world to be good examples for their citizens. Guide all nations to settle their disagreements without war and bloodshed. And lead your people to do your will without hindrance or fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Defend us, O Lord, from every evil of body and soul. Protect the weak and vulnerable, the hungry and homeless, the refugee who seeks shelter, the falsely accused, and all who suffer the ravages of violent weather. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, according to your gracious will, heal the sick, give skill and patience to their caregivers, and encourage all Christians who face death with the promise of a place in paradise with Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Son voluntarily went to the cross to suffer for our sins. Grant that all who eat his body and blood this day may in true faith be made whole as they partake in his divine life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear us, O Father, for the sake of our merciful high priest, even Jesus Christ our Lord.
He was oppressed and he was
The Lord be with you. Up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Go forth in peace.
Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.